For the last 3 years, more or less, Bishop Gilmour has really been trying to focus our diocese on a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. And the method he's chosen to do that has been what he has called word working, and which is basically, it is gathering people in small groups and reading and reflecting on, in very simple ways, the gospel reading normally, not always the gospel, but normally the gospel for the coming Sunday. What he's hoping to accomplish is that we as a Catholic people come to know the Word of God. And then knowing the Word of God, that we learn to love that Word and to let that Word begin to touch and transform our lives. You know, that's a very important thing, because if we don't have a knowledge of the Word of God, when we gather here on Sunday to listen to the Scriptures, they're not going to really touch and impact our lives. We have an example this morning in the Gospel reading of a reading that can be greatly helped by a knowledge of Scripture. You know, it's one of those stories that you and I have heard hundreds of times. And your first inclination can be just, oh, I've heard that before. And so you just kind of click off the switch of listening and go about your own daydreams. Or you read it and you say, oh, I know what that's all about. And you just kind of skim over it and don't think about it very much. But it's a story that if we are attentive, if we understand the Scriptures, is packed with levels of meaning. If we don't understand it, the danger is that we'll begin to look at it as little more than a fairy tale. Let's take for a moment this gospel reading today and ponder it a little more deeply. Scripture scholars tell us that Luke was using a literary form that was very common in his time. It was called a birth announcement. And it would be something that would be used for important people, like the king. Now, it wasn't an announcement that was written at the time of the birth. It was written much later, but written in a way that would help you know the person. So the birth announcement would tell you ancestry. The birth announcement might tell you something about, you know, where he was born in terms of his future life. So it was a way to introduce the person through the literary device of a birth announcement. And so Luke uses that literary device to tell us something about Jesus. Let's look at it. Just in the first sentence, there's very much meaning. It starts out, "The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary." What does that tell us? First of all, it's telling us that there was a message from God. You know, God sent the angel. And then it tells us the town. Well, at that time, people would have known that Nazareth was next to nothing. It was just a very tiny little town. They think maybe a couple hundred people, not much more than that. So a very insignificant town in Galilee. Not exactly the favorite place either, the people of Jerusalem. To a virgin, okay, that tells us something there. That she is a virgin. But she is betrothed to a man named Joseph. In other words, she's engaged. And then it tells us that this Joseph is of the house of David. That's a very important piece of the reading. Go back to the first reading for the Mass today. In that first reading, the prophet Nathan is telling King David that God is going to establish a house for him, and that his ancestor, his posterity, will be on the throne forever. That he is going to raise up a great leader. Now, the Jewish people live in the expectation of that great leader. They called him the Messiah. And they were waiting and longing for the day that the Messiah was to come. Now, Luke is telling us in this first sentence that this Jesus, or this child to be born of Mary, is that descendant of King David. He is that long-awaited Messiah. In the greeting, "Hail, full of grace," or another way to translate it is, "Hail, chosen one. The Lord is with you." And then it goes on to tell us how Mary was troubled by those words and pondered, what did it all mean? And then the angel goes on to say, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High." Later it goes into fact, it says, "will be called Holy, the Son of God." Right there, Luke is telling us something about this Jesus. He is Son of the Most High, he is holy, he is Son of God. Luke is trying to introduce to us this person of Jesus Christ. Obviously, he's doing this many years after Jesus died. But he's setting a mood, he's setting an understanding for what this gospel story is all about. This Jesus, born of Mary, Son of God, promised Redeemer of the Jewish people. He's letting us know who he is. Then it goes on to tell us how Mary was going to conceive the child. It says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the child to be born of you. So it's a child of the Spirit. Now, have we seen anything like that in other places in the Scriptures? And I'm not talking about women getting pregnant by the Spirit, but I'm talking about when the Spirit descends on something and fills that something with life. Think about the story of creation. In the story of creation, it says, the Spirit swept over the waters, or a mighty wind swept over the waters. The word for spirit and wind and breath is all the same word. And so you can translate it in various ways. The Spirit hovered over the waters, the wind swept over the waters. But what it's trying to say is that the Spirit of God took that water and pulled forth from it all creation, brought life out of it. Then if you go just a little bit more in the book of Genesis, you know, it talks about how God formed Adam from the clay of the earth. And then what does it say he did? He breathed into him the breath of life. That Spirit of God again, giving life. If you go further, go into the time of Moses and the Ten Commandments and the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark of the Covenant was the container built to hold those Ten Commandments. And it talks about how the cloud of God's presence came down on that ark. And that was the dwelling place of God as they traveled through the desert. And then later when they finally got the temple built, how the cloud that had led them through the desert descended now on the temple, on the Holy of Holies, the very central part of the temple. And that became the dwelling place of God. Luke is trying to connect all of that for us. That Spirit who gave life to the world, who gave life to Adam, who brought God's presence among his people, that Spirit now comes upon Mary and fills her with life. The life of the God-man. But he also has other things in mind. When again do we see that Spirit descending? On Pentecost. The Spirit descends on the apostles. And we see what happens there, how they are transformed, those frightened, timid people. Suddenly aren't afraid to go out and speak in the name of Christ Jesus and bring Christ to the world. Now, in a sense, what Luke is saying to us, that what God did over that water, He is now doing in the womb of Mary. He is making a new creation. He is making a new Adam. Just as He formed the first Adam and gave him the breath of life. Now, in that new Adam, in the womb of Mary, we will find a new creation, a new source of life. And if He is the new Adam, Mary is the new Eve. Eve said no. She said, I'll do it my way. Mary said yes. She said yes to God's will. And because of that yes, God's plan of salvation could go forward. The book of Genesis, when it's speaking about Eve after the sin and she has her first child, it says, she became the mother of all the living. Mary then becomes for us the mother, not of our physical lives, but of our spiritual lives. Because through her came the Savior. And you and I have become one with the Savior because we have received the Spirit. We have become a new creation. And just as she is mother of the Savior in some way, then she's also spiritual mother of each and every one of us. Because through that same Spirit that came down upon her, we are filled with new life. And through that Son that she bore, that life comes to us. Luke wants to tie all of this into our thoughts as we hear that passage. That what is happening with that very simple, lowly virgin is parallel to what happened in the Garden of Paradise. And just as life was lost through disobedience, now life has been found through obedience. And that we who come to this Christ Jesus, we who come to this Savior, we will find life. And that life will last forever. That life will bring us into the kingdom of our Father. That life will fulfill our deepest yearnings and desires. That life will last forever and will never end.